The following is a Hoop Ball presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the Hoop Ball Grizz Podcast. This is Isaac Simpson here, along with my partner in crime, David Williams. And you can find me on Twitter at Isaac underscore Rivals. That's I-S-A-A-C underscore Rivals. You can find David at DWill2111. Tonight, man, we're joined by a very special guest, former NBA veteran turned the best color analyst in the business, and he showed up on time. Affectionately known as BK, he's my man, Brevin Knight. Man, how you doing tonight, BK?
I'm doing good. I'm glad I show up on time. As many times as I've been late, I'm trying to work on time at this point.
Yeah, if you don't know about that, man, you know the Brevin and PD, they have to joke with the referees. They show up on time, and though Grizz Nation should know that by now. But man, before we get into anything else, man, you look at it. COVID has affected probably everybody in the world in some way, some fashion. As far as you and Petey, you guys haven't been able to travel with the team this year. You guys have been calling the games remotely. How different has that been? And kind of talk about that process and how it works. You guys just watch on the monitor and call the games like we're watching them on TV. How does that work?
Yeah, pretty much. It's as you said, it has been a trying year for everyone. Everybody has had to be flexible and adjust to, you know, what this norm was for this season. And so for us, you hit on the head, the no traveling. And the biggest part about no traveling is we don't get an opportunity really to know the guys as well as we normally do. We don't get a chance to really interact with new players. Like I've never met Xavier Tillman. Met Desmond Bain just on one day as he was running into the tunnel. We happened to be talking to somebody else and just introduced ourselves in that way. And so it's been different. And the other thing that's different is we use those moments before games where we're down on the floor to talk to the opposing team's broadcast team. We talk to since I'm not all the way removed from the game, I still know assistant coaches on other teams or people that I played against. And so so that sometimes gives you the opportunity to get the feel for what those teams are doing. But also, it's just to reinforce with our team and our guys that we are a part of the family. Like, we're there to support them, to make them look as good as possible. And so you miss out on having those personal relationships that I think made our broadcast be as good as it can be. And then on the other end, yeah, we just watch two bit when it's on the road. We go to the arena, we sit in the same place that we sit when it's a home game, except now they put two big monitors up in front of us, and we watch it on TV and call it just like you're sitting at home watching it, and try to do the best job that we can to not make it feel as though we're not there, even though we feel it 100%, because there's no feeding off of the crowd, there's no being in the moment, it's literally just us and the people in the radio and some people that may be cleaning up the arena that's around the game.
Yeah, man. I mean, I knew it was different, but I hadn't even thought about that aspect. The four is, like you said, that there would not be Desmond Bain not being around the players and that aspect. I hadn't even thought about that, man. And shout out to Contral, man. I see the Jitty sweater. Contral got you some gear there, I see.
I got my Jitty gear on. Contral, they sent Petey and I. We were talking about them one day, and they said, would you want some Jitty gear? I'm like, hey, I take everything that's free. And so with him playing as well as he did, I said on air that tomorrow I'm taking out my Jitty sweatshirt. I don't care what the temperature is. It doesn't matter. I'm going to wear it. And so I had to stick to my word.
Yeah, we're talking with Grizzlies color analyst Brevin Knight here on the Hoop Ball Grizz podcast. And speaking of Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman, man, this front office in the two drafts, they have just hit home runs. I mean, of course, you get John number two, they make the trade and get Brandon Clark. The second draft, they go back and make a trade with Boston and get Desmond Bane. And you get a guy like Tillman in the second round who wasn't even projected to be drafted on most mock drafts. And I mean, I think both of these guys have been fantastic. I mean, Bain is breaking all kind of records as far as three-point shooting for a rookie. You have Xavier Tillman, who I think is so advanced for a rookie as far as his footwork, his defensive principles. Kind of talk about those two guys in their maturation process this season, and, I mean, just how well this franchise has done in drafting.
Well, I think the front office did a fantastic job in being able to turn no draft picks into two players that have been big contributors to this team all year. We would not have the record that we have or be in a position that we're in at this moment without these two guys. And so with the amount of injuries that the Grizzlies have sustained, they've always been ready to step into whichever role, whether it's starting, coming off the bench, having played in a game or two. They've always been ready. And to say that for young guys is a credit to them and how their maturity is as basketball players, because easily they could get in their own feelings and say, well, we've been playing well and still I don't get this. I've been playing well and still you treat me. That doesn't come out of their mind, that's out of their mouth. That's not their mentality. I think for Desmond, the 3-point shooting has been fantastic, but we've also seen him just do all of the other things in the game. Pull up jump shots, now getting to the basket, he handles the ball extremely well. The rebounding has been there for him. And so it's been nice to see the versatility in his offensive game. And on the defensive side, I think he is catching on quicker and quicker what it takes to be a good position defender, but also what it takes to be a good moving defender, because at that two position, you're going to get guys that put it on the floor and handle, but also guys that shoot it. So he's advanced in that area. And for Tillman, the biggest thing for him has been the little pocket pass and be able to knock down that floater. But I think he does such a great job of not taking himself to the next defender. He always stops in a space that when he catches, these are always clean looks that he's getting on 8 to 10 foot little floaters. And then on the defensive side, good communicator, always in the right position, uses his low center gravity against bigger players. And pick and rolls, he can switch and do an admirable job of keeping guards in front of him. So they hit a home run with both of these picks.
Yeah, man, I tried to tell people about Bane. People, a lot of Grizz fans, when he was coming in, they would say, oh, he's just a spot-up shooter. I'm like, man, you didn't watch him at TCU. Man, he can do a lot more than that, and he's really shown that. I mean, he's a better defender than a lot of people think. He can knock down threes, of course, at a high rate. And, I mean, he just plays hard all the time. And for a guy that you get at 30 to be a major contributor like that, as big a part of this team as he's been this year, I mean, that's fantastic. And with Tillman, one thing that I like about Tillman is that even though he's been in and out of the rotation at times this year, when his number is called, he's ready to go. It's like that old saying that says, when you stay ready, you never have to get ready. Yes. The old saying goes, and that's kind of what Tillman's been this year. But moving on, I want to talk about Ja Morant, who is, I talk about it all the time, how he's been a tremendous ambassador for this team, before even on and off the court. And he's one of those guys that you say is worth the price of admission. Every night, he's going to give you at least one play where your mouth's going to drop. It's going to be something that you just don't see on a night-to-night basis. Man, talk about his potential. And, I mean, he's the type of player that this team's never really had. They've never really had a guy that you could say, quote-unquote, superstar nationally. I mean, I think him and Jaren are two guys that could really be some of the faces of this league going forward. Kind of talk about Ja and his potential on and off the floor and in the city of Memphis.
Well, I think you hit it on the head, and it's the one thing I like to say. He has superstar potential. You don't like to put something on somebody before their time is due. And so I think he is a player that, yes, the one, he's going to give you a highlight every night. That's just the nature of how he plays the game. But what I respect even more is the fact of the solid plays that he makes on a nightly basis, which is being able to use ball fakes to now get somebody open. The timing of when I throw the ball ahead to allow a player to have the advantage of a retreating defender, not waiting until that defender is now set, and now I hit you with the basketball. The being able to manipulate pick and rolls where I come off the screen, keep a defender behind me, take this floater, the big steps up, I drop it down to my big, I throw a lob, or he's able to then explode with one more step and get to the rim. So I think there's so much more substance to his game than just the highlight plays. And I think that to see him continue to elevate himself into a realm where you start to say, okay, he can shoulder the burden for this basketball team, I think has been major steps for him. But those steps are made because, yes, he is a guy that creates a buzz on a regular basis, but there's also a basics to his game that allows him to then add the little bit of sauce to it when he needs it.
Again, we're talking with Grizzlies color analyst Brevin Knight here on the Hoop Ball Grizz podcast. One thing that's been a big debate among us in the media, the Grizz fans here in the city, the front office and Zach Lyman said at the beginning of the season that this was going to be a developmental year. I mean, they said that and they've stuck to it. And you have to kind of try to toe that line. I've kind of been of the opinion that I feel like, even though this is the second year of a quote-unquote rebuild, that this team has been competitive enough to where you could just kind of let things happen organically. I think at times during this year, I think they've been extra cautious with guys, like overly cautious at times. And I understand that they're looking toward the future and everything's kind of future-based, but being a former player, kind of when you look at that line, I know as a player you want to win games and you want to win to the maximum. And I just think at times this front office, even though they said this is what they're going to do, I think they've kind of done things in a vein of we're going to make sure we're good for next year. If we win this year, we make the playoffs, that's great, but we're not going to – some of the things that we're going to do might not be the same thing a team that's going to be a fifth or sixth seed might do, that's kind of ready to compete now. When you talk about that line, being a former player, how do you kind of look at that situation?
Well, I think in all situations, and everybody's situation is different, it is you lay out a plan. You say these are the steps to get to where we want to get to. If there's a roadblock, whether that hinders your plan, and now you have to have an alternative route that you go, or is everything fast tracked a little bit to what you thought where you thought you would be? And I think for this team that they always felt and thought that they would be competitive. What level competitive? How high that goes? I think that's what they didn't know, and so to be in the position that they're in at this point is a credit to Taylor, because they're not going to rush injured guys back. That's not what this team has been about. It's not what they're going to do. And so they took their time with Jaren, making sure that he was right. They took their time with Justice to making sure that he was right when he came back. And that's just the nature of how they're going to do business. And credit to the rest of the guys for being able to hold the fort and be in this position, even though they did not have Jaren for as long as they did. And so I commend them for sticking to their guns on what they would like to do. I think we are in a position that is maybe a little different than what people thought, a little bit further along. And so with that, I think the adjustment then gets made of, well, we're here at this point. Well, how do we keep getting better while still winning? Like, we still want to have a room to grow. This is still a process. But the process has been sped up by the players and by this coaching staff. And so to give them their due credit is to say, well, we'll do whatever it takes to win. I mean, you guys have worked this hard to put yourself in this position. I'm going to hold you back by saying, well, that's not the plan that we had at the beginning of the year. This is the position that and the hard work that has been put forth by these coaches and these players. And so continue to do what it takes to win games. And I think that's with the way that we've seen the rotation the last couple of games, especially with Jaren being in the starting lineup, you can see that they are going to more of a playoff rotation, which is they are only playing really nine guys, heavy minutes. The other positions, you figure out how the game is going and how many people you play from there. So I think that they put themselves in the mindset of, we want to be a playoff team and do what it takes to be that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely – you have a young team, a young coaching staff, and I've criticized them for some things at times, but I think you have to – just like you said, you have to give Taylor Jenkins a lot of credit in the area. I mean, this team was missing their 1B player in Jaren for 90% of the season. And to be in the position that they're in right now, I mean, second-year rebuild, a lot of times you see these teams, you look at some teams, they've been rebuilding 5, 6, 7 years and still haven't got there. For this team to be where they are after in year two, I think it's amazing. I asked Taylor in the presser after the game the other night, I was like, how special does this feel for the second time in the second year in a row for you to be in position to clinch a playoff spot? And, I mean, he says amazement, just a testament to the hard work that the guys put in. And, I mean, in that vein, I think he's done a tremendous job, and I definitely think he should be in the running for coach of the year. But speaking of that, when you look at this team, what do you think they need to take that next step? Was it as personnel-wise, a mentality? What do you think is the next step? What do you think they need to take that next step?
Brevin, before you go on that, actually, I have a question that's kind of related to what we just touched on. As a player, as a former player in the league, you gave credit to the coaches. For those of us that have not had that experience, what do the coaches do for the players to help them improve? You know, like a play, we know that the players are going out there, they're putting up the shots, they're putting in the work in the gym. But can you just give us from the player side, but what do the coaches do for the players to help them advance their game?
First and foremost, you want your coaches and your coaching staff to have a plan. What are we trying to get accomplished? The next part about that is, how do we go about accomplishing that goal? And third from there is, I always say communication is the biggest thing, because these are individual businessmen is what NBA players are. And at the end of the day, you have to be able to get across to them. The bigger good is the team winning. I want to put you in the best position to be the best player that you can be. And while you're in that position, we then ultimately win. And then everybody wins at the end of that day. And so what coaches do is they have to be good motivators to get guys in the gym. Got to be a great communicator so that you understand what your role is on the basketball team. What's your level of accountability for different situations, whether it's coming into practice, whether it's getting your individual work in, whether it's in the gym, in the weight room, make all of those, they hold you accountable in all of those areas. And then when they go into basketball games, they're able to make the necessary adjustments within games. You go in with a game plan. Sometimes that game plan doesn't work, and then you have to scratch it out. And then can you move on to the next thing? And I think that this coaching staff has empowered these players to go out and be themselves as players. They've given them the rope that they need to not have to be worrying while you're on the floor. Was that a bad shot? Am I not supposed to shoot? Well, they eliminated from that from players' minds. And so we've been able to see guys, and I think that's the reason why we've been able to see guys not play in games, but multiple games, and come back, and when their number is called, they're still ready. And so I think those are some of the characteristics of a good coaching staff that can trickle down to players.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. Whether you're talking about Tillman or Conchar, you saw the big game that he had last night. These guys are ready. And we talked about them, what you just said. I mean, these guys know what their roles are. When their number's called, they're ready. And I think that's another testament to Coach Taylor Jenkins and the job this coaching staff has done to have those guys ready. And, I mean, you don't see a lot of egos on this team. I mean, and that's right. One thing that I really like about these guys. These guys aren't complaining about minutes. I mean, there's been a lot of guys. Bane, I mean, guys that have had sporadic minutes. Sometimes they're in the starting lineup. Sometimes they're not. And when their number's called, they come in and play, and they don't pout or complain or anything like that. So I think that's one thing that you love about this team. But, again, we're talking with Grizzlies color analyst Brevin Knight here on the Hoopball Grizz podcast. And back to the question that I asked prior. What do you think this team needs to take that next step?
Well, I think just a veteran presence, but they need a playing vet. And mostly, if you can get another vet wing player.
Yeah, Jay Crowder.
Jay Crowder could help you. You know, I'm not – that's he definitely could help, but if we're talking about longevity – for the next four, if you want to go another 4, 5, 6 years of making the run, a similar run to what we made when we had the core four, then you want a guy that's more so a 5, 6 year guy that still is really now starting to reach his potential, understands what it takes to win in this league. And so I think that would be is that type of player that could just elevate, because I always say there we have those offensive lulls. And a lot of times when you have offensive lulls, yes, Valanciunas is an option if we're going to use that. But in today's game, so much is still perimeter oriented. So you would like to have a guy that can either get to the free throw line or a guy that can get a basket for you in that instance. But then it can also be a voice for these younger guys. And so I think that would be a piece that could help as they move forward.
Man, why does JV not get the credit he deserves, man? Even among Grizz Nation, he's a polarizing figure. This guy goes out hard hat, lunch pail every night, man. It puts up what I call video game numbers. Now, I mean, he has his struggles defensively in the pick and roll, but outside of that, I mean, this guy is been tremendous. And when people talk about the top centers in the league, I've seen lists where people put top 10, top 15, and don't even have him on there. Like, I think that's crazy. I mean, I think he's been an unsung hero for this team.
Well, the thing is, so many times you always say, well, that guy's on – he's on a team in Memphis, and, you know, they're playing well, but it's not a big – but my thing is, it don't matter. Like, this dude is putting up numbers.
Yeah.
And he's efficient with the numbers that he puts up. And for anybody that's in Grizz Nation to have – it should be a one-track thing with everybody that's a Grizz fan, is that he is a great center for our team. He is the center that the Grizzlies need – to keep moving forward and have chances to win basketball games. And so I think that the reason that he's not talked about more is just because he's not a sexy choice. He's not going to go out there and shoot 5-6 threes a game. Not going to put the ball on the floor between the legs, crossover, pull-up, jump shot. What he is going to do is pound you behind every night, every minute of the game. And to the people that are giving their analysts of the game, at some point those people are looking for, well, what highlight did he create? So I can put that up there, and we can equate him with these. It's not what he's going to do. But what he is going to do is be highly efficient and make winning basketball plays. And to me, he is a top three center in the association right now.
Man, I don't disagree with that. I mean, the numbers prove it out. Like I said, the only struggles he has is, like I said, in pick and roll defense.
Here's the thing, though. Pick and roll defense. You name me how many centers in the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. I know where you're going.
Defense.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
you're
saying?
Right.
And here, the other thing is, it is the coverage that we play, and that just about every team plays at that big position, if you're not switching, is you lay off. The guard has the option of over, under, but then stay on the guard's body, and now you do a good job of being a rim protector. He protects the rim. He's a big body. You come down. He plays with the guards. If not, he gets back to the big. And so whenever people come to me and say, well, defensively, well, who defensively is good? Who tell me who's the good defensive big guy that plays pick and rolls? What's his name? There isn't one. They all play the same way.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. When you looked at that schedule, when I looked at it about a month out, you look at that finale game at Golden State, I just knew somehow that game was going to come down to seeding purpose. Now, the Grizzlies have to take care of business. They got to win one of these next two games against Sacramento, which I think they'll take care of business there. But when you look at that game, Steph has been on an absolute tear. I mean, Golden State's had two back-to-back big victories here on the home floor, and that game looms on Sunday, and I think when we get there, I think that game will be for that 8th seed. What are your thoughts on that game? I mean, it's going to be a huge game. The Grizzlies are gonna have to go on the road, man, and come back and try to win a tough game, man. What are your thoughts on it?
Like you said, first and foremost, I think that they have to win both games versus Sacramento to ensure that game against Golden State is a game in which it is a fight for the AFC, because Golden State has one game with New Orleans before they play the Grizzlies on Sunday. And I think that they'll beat New Orleans, because what they've done a good job of is they have finished extremely well in their last couple of games. The Utah game, Steph had
Phoenix game last night.
Phoenix is up double figures into the fourth. They make the comeback, and it has become bigger than just Steph. And this is why I told people at the beginning of the year, they said, well, who are your superstars? I said, I only got four superstars in the association. There's only four in the game. We've equated very talented players with superstars, and to be a superstar is more than just talent, because there's talent through and through the association. Steph Curry, I put in that category because he not only can he go get it done, but he makes his team better.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing.
The reason why the Warriors were good when Durant came was because Steph Curry took a step back and said, KD, I'm gonna let you're gonna come in here, and I'll allow you to be a bigger player on this team. I'll do all the other stuff. But as soon as he leaves, and now the Warriors in a position where, like, hey, Warriors might not win 20 games. Shucks, he has them in the AFC. But it's rubbed off on everybody. And so it's gonna be a tough game, because they move the basketball. The Grizzlies are a high assist team, and we do a good job of moving the ball. This Warriors team is on another level in terms of how well they move their bodies how well they quickly the ball goes from side to side and will come back a third time and still have 10 seconds on the shot clock. Like, that's you don't see in NBA basketball the ball going from one side of the court to the other without it now being a grenade into the shot clock shot. They move extremely well. So the Grizzlies' defense will be stressed. We know how good Steph is and the way he shoots the ball, but Jordan Poole is playing really good right now. And so he's another player that they're going to have to keep an eye on. And I think it's going to be playoff atmosphere at its best.
Yeah, they get so many open shots because of that ball movement. She spoke of, and you talk about Jordan Poole. I mean, he came in here in that back-to-back set, that first game where Golden State won at FedEx Forum, and really put it on the Grizz. I don't think they were expecting him to come out and put up those numbers, but he's going to be good, man. I think they found a player in Jordan Poole. I've been really impressed with him, man. But before we get out of here, man, I gotta rib you a little bit on your G man, man. Man, y'all done some good stuff in free agency.
The NFC champs next year.
Well, you know it's Cowboy Nation over here, man. You know how that goes, man. I kind of like what y'all have done, man. Y'all picked up Galladay. I like that pickup, but man, you really think Daniel Jones can be that guy?
Yes, I think that he can be that guy as long as he plays to his strengths. Like when he came back from the ankle injury last year, which I thought he came back too soon, they said, well, he's not going to be as mobile. We'll just use him as a pocket passer. But I just don't think he's a pocket passer. His ability to be able to use his legs is an asset. It's the reason why we were able to even have some semblance of offense when he was feeling good, because you can do a run play, you can do a run pass option with him. And then you get Barkley back. And I think that he's a good thrower of the football. And now you add some more weapons with Galladay, and you get we'll get our run Saquon Barkley. We'll get him back, and so it'll be interesting. And then the kid from Florida that we got in the draft, the all-purpose receiver, I think will be good playing out of the slot in time, but he'll also be a good guy. We needed like some excitement on our kick return team. So yeah. if he becomes a punt returner / kickoff returner, I think that will help our offense more than anything. And I like, though, after getting offense in the first pick, we went defense after that because we needed linebackers in the worst way.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be a fun year in the NFC East. I think it's going to be a lot better than it was last year. It's kind of a disaster all the way around last year with the Cowboys, all the injuries we had, Saquon going down for you guys. I mean, Washington with their quarterback situation. I mean, it was bad deal. But I think this year, I think all these teams have some bright spots, some things to look forward to. I mean, we got Dak back. Of course, we needed worst defense I've ever seen. Like, I admit that, man. I don't know if I've ever seen a defense as bad as we played last year. So nowhere to go but up on that end. But I mean, I think we're the favorites. I think we all know that. So we're gonna go ahead.
you guys are the favorites within your Cowboy Nation. Yeah, that's your favorites with Jerry Jones. Outside of that, we'll see what happens. But I think you guys got a nice first round pick, but with Sean Lee retires and y'all replace him with a great linebacker. So
yeah, and a lot of people, Cowboy fans hated that pick. I watched that guy. I was at the Cotton Bowl covering the Tigers when they played Penn State, and he put up one of the best linebacker performances I've ever seen live. I mean, that guy is a one-man wrecking crew back there. I mean, he can rush the passer. I mean, he can do it all at speed. I think he ran a 4.4 40. I mean, he can do it all. So I think he's going to have a lot of Cowboy fans eating crow on that one, because a lot of them didn't like that pick, man. But, man, I thank you for taking a little time to join us, man. I know you got to go spend some time with the family, man. So we'll let you get out of here. But we appreciate it, man. A bit too long, man. We got to get you back on soon, man.
Yeah, man. You know how to get in touch with me. I appreciate it. Whenever you need me, you know where I'm at.
All right, man. Good stuff, man. That's Grizzlies color analyst Reverend Knight joining us here on the Hoop Ball Grizz podcast. Want to really thank him for taking a little time for us, man. Have a good call tomorrow night, man. Hopefully Grizzlies can come out and get that win.
Yeah, man. Why not keep it rolling? Playing good basketball right now.
Thanks, Reverend. Appreciate you.
All right, man. No doubt, man. Y'all have a good one.
Man, you too.
All right. Later.
Yeah, it's Grizzlies color analyst Brevin Knight joining us here on the Hoop Ball Grizz podcast. Special thanks to him, man. I know he's a busy man. This is his night off. I mean, it's been a crazy run for those guys. I mean, you had two Monday, Tuesday back to back, and coming up with a Thursday, Friday. So this kind of his night off. So to really really thank him for joining us on taking some time. I know he's about to go spend some time with the family, man. But good stuff, man. He's always fantastic. I love talking to BK, man. Really good dude.
Yeah, you know, we talk about the players, not, you know, the Grizzlies since the All-Star break have not had back-to-back nights off. They haven't after the way that their schedule is packed up. And so, you know, it's not just the players, it's everybody around the team. So Brevin and Pete have not had that. So definitely appreciate him taking his time. I did want to ask him before he left, didn't take the opportunity there, but we get him back on. It's going to be the first question, Saquon or Zeke. I think I know what his answer is already, but, you know, it was fun. It was a good time. I love his insight, man. And I liked it, you know, because he mentioned the coach and the coaching and how they help the players. And I love the way that he broke that down. He you know, just elaborated on that and gave us a look that we don't always get. You don't always know, you know, okay, what's going on behind the scenes. We see them out there, you know, pregame warmups and all of that. But there's a whole nother part of the game that we don't see that's behind the scenes, the film work and the weight room and all of that stuff. And so it was good to have a guy that has been there and done that to give us his perspective on it.
Yeah, another big quote from the interview, JV, top three center in the NBA. That's Brevin Knight, man. That's what he said, man. But I don't know if he's top three, but I definitely don't think he gets – credit reserves. I saw like a top 12 NBA centers list or something a couple weeks ago, and he wasn't even on the list, which there's some guys on there. I mean, there's not 12 centers in the NBA, but I think they had Andre Drummond on there, and I don't think Andre Drummond is better than Jones Valanciunas. I'm trying to think of some other guys they had on there, but there were some guys that I'm like, are you serious?
Just trash, man. It was, and I think, who was it? That was, oh man. I mean, because Sane called, there was one guy that Sane called him out. And, you know, he just like, man, you know, that's BS. You can't make a top centers list and leave JV off.
I think it was Nate Duncan, I want to say.
Yeah, that's who it was. And, you know, Sane was quick to say, bro, you know, that's crap. And it is. I don't think that you can name five centers that are better than him in the NBA.
And like you said, we do talk about the pick and roll defense all the time. And Revin said it right. Most centers aren't good at moving their feet. I mean, you have the new stretch big. You're talking about guys like Jokic and guys that can move a little bit more. But there are not a lot of those guys, though, when you really break it down and look at it.
That defensively, if they're playing that type of scheme, I would venture to say that there's probably only two guys in the league that would be, you know, above average pick and roll defenders, and that would be Rudy Gobert and Miles Turner.
Miles Turner,
I've not watched enough of Jared Allen to say, like, he's got pretty good footwork. He may be another guy that you could add to that list, but, you know, those would be the only two guys that I would think. And you know, it's him saying that really makes, you know, it made me step back and look. I'm like, man, I've never really thought about it that way. Yeah, it's frustrating whenever, you know, he's playing the drop defense and they get the wide open 10, 12 foot jumper, but that's the way the defense is designed. And he does. JV does a lot of great things. And it was surprising when he said top three big in the league. I'm like, man, giving him the credit. So you love to see that. And I do love JV. That's, you know, I'm critical of guys at time, but he is definitely one of the guys on this team that I feel like I have supported pretty much throughout. So
he plays to his strengths. Every God-given talent that he has, he uses everything. I mean, that's just not his forte. He's not fleet of foot in that way. But everything else, I mean, he gives max effort out there if night in and night out. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him. And again, I mean, he just puts up these crazy numbers that I just feel like at times, like you would think, you say the guy's putting up 28-20 and you don't really hear anything about it around the league. If some other guy that played for another team was putting up numbers like that on a pretty consistent basis at this long double-double streak, you just hear a lot about it. And it, I think, again, it just goes to kind of that small Memphis media market bias. That's what it is.
Memphis versus everybody, man. You know what it is. And that just...
That's what it is, man.
I have people that don't live in this area that I talk to, and they're like, why do I always see that? Why do I see that all the time? And I said, because Memphis literally gets zero respect.
No, it's true.
Tony Allen, I think, is probably the best example of that. And so, you know, you can argue different players, But one of the greatest to ever play the game said he was the toughest defender that he ever played against. Kobe Bryant said Tony Allen. When he was asked who was the toughest defender you've ever played, he said Tony Allen.
Yep.
And when you see an all-time defenders list, people leave him off of it all the time, bro.
I know, man. And
it's disgusting.
Crazy.
Like, that's – and so, you know, people from outside of the Memphis area, they don't realize it. They're like, oh, you guys are just making something out of nothing. No. No, if you look at it, if you pay attention – You're going to see that these guys are doing big things and it's not getting talked about. We're going to get Lonzo or LaMelo Ball is going to get on SportsCenter when he puts up 11-5-5, but JV puts up 28-20 and he gets a 5-second window.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about where you want the attention to go, and Memphis just doesn't get it. And I'm hoping that as Ja continues to ascend, that changes some.
Yeah, man, somebody, and this was about a couple months ago, somebody put up a top defensive guys of all time list. They had like 8 guys on it, and Tony wasn't on it. And Tony even had to chime in and come in on it. I know it had Draymond on there, and I'm like, man, are you seriously? You the grandfather, you don't have him on there, but you got Draymond. I think it was Draymond that they kind of went back and forth about it. He was the guy that he kind of singled out and went after him. They had some banner back and forth on Twitter, which was fun to see. But yeah, man, I mean, something we're used to.
I don't mind having, if you're going to have it all like a list, I don't mind having Draymond on the list, but if you have Draymond Green on there,
you gotta have
there's
Tony
no
Allen
way
there.
That you cannot have Tony Allen. And that's just, there's other guys, like I said, Mark didn't get the credit that he deserved while he was here. No. Mike
definitely did.
You know, and it's just craziness. I don't understand it. I know that it's a small market, but there's other guys that get pushed that limelight that play in smaller markets. It's just something about Memphis, man.
Yeah, because if Mike had played for another team, he would probably have been an all-star by now. If he had put up the same numbers and been in kind of the same type of situation where the team was winning, I think he would have already had an all-star appearance before this year, being an alternate. But I mean, that just comes with the territory, man. We're used to it here in Memphis again, and that's why the Memphis versus everybody thing is not made up. People outside of Memphis are like, oh, y'all just saying this. Oh, you're overrating this guy. I mean, you're just not paying attention. I mean, that's what it is. And you hear these national guys, we talked about this over the last couple of weeks, just saying all this dumb stuff. I mean, I'm like, these guys really are getting paid big bucks to write this stuff. And I'm like, sometimes I don't even believe they believe some of this stuff that they're writing. Yeah, I think they write it to get ratings. They know the guys they're choosing. Those are the guys that people want to see them write about, see them talk about. So they know a lot of people outside of Memphis don't really give a crap about what's going on with the Grizzlies. So they're not even going to put them in there. And you see it in the highlights. Grizzlies won a game by 40 points, and they'll show the highlights of the other team dunking or somebody had a big dunk on the other team, and that's what you'll see. And they'll be like, oh, Grizzlies win 140-114 or something. I'm like, what? I mean, that's just – but it's always been that way.
Yeah, it's insane, man. That's – I say, we have – I like the way that Brevin worded it. He said he has superstar potential. And that's something that the Grizzlies have not had here. So here we are, man. We're getting to watch you know, possible superstar in the making. We didn't get a chance. You didn't come on the post game with me. What did you think about the Mavericks game, man?
Man, I was super impressed. I said on Twitter that last couple wins that they had really didn't move the needle for me. I mean, you beat a Toronto team that rested a lot of guys. You struggle, but still to win a game. Kind of the same thing on Monday against the Pelicans. You win the game, but it was a lot harder than it should have been. But not having Jared and JV, I was like, if they come in here and beat this Dallas team, I mean, that would be impressive. And I was highly impressed because that's not what I expected. I expected, honestly, I thought Dallas would win that game. I hate to say that. People might call me out on it, but I didn't expect the Grizzlies to win that game. And they came out early, and you could just see that despite being shorthanded and having your starting front court out, I mean, they played well. I mean, to a man. I mean, you look at that box score. I mean, it's insanity. I mean, you have one thing. They increased their scoring output in each quarter. I mean, they just got better as the game went on. And what can you say about DB? I mean, vintage villain performers there, man, just going off. I mean, you can just see the confidence. I mean, he was just coming down, just hunting shots and just knocking them down, man. I wish we got that every night because he looked like an all-star. Yeah. In that game, I mean, he was locked in. And I mean, he had a tremendous performance. I was really impressed, man. Shout out to Jitty. Brevin Knight had his had his Jitty hoodie on. Big game for him. Career high for him last night. I think he had 18 points. Big game for him. I mean, all around, I mean, they just played really well. And I was kind of surprised at that because I thought that might be a game where you want to. And we've seen this team kind of come out and not have the requisite effort, especially if it's a game where, I mean, the requisite effort. And I thought that could have been a moment where that could have happened, and it wasn't at all. I mean, they took that game seriously. You could see it from the jump. I mean, they just came out and playing, and they stayed all the way through the game. Not many lulls like Griffin talked about in that one last night.
Yeah, the full 48 minutes. You know, job's not done. Play a full 48 minutes. That was that was something in the post game presser that was mentioned, and I mentioned DB in the episode last night. Like when he struggles against subpar guys, performances like this, it drives me nuts. Like,
yeah,
you see him come out here and shut down one of the best scorers in the league. You know, Luka can pretty well score at will, and they shut him down last night. 12 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists on 4 of 16 from the field. That's an awful night for him. And that was credit to the defense. Obviously, help defense plays a big part of that. But the one-on-one defense from Dylan Brooks is really what fueled that. And he was when you see him struggle against Corey Joseph.
Yeah, like, Wayne Ellington the other night. I said it on the podcast.
What is going on, man? And so it just makes it that much tougher.
Yeah, I mean, 7 guys in double figures. I mean, it's just look at those box score. I mean, Ja 24-7-8. 22 for, of course, we talked about DB. Not the most efficient night. He's 9-21 and 2-9 from 3, but I mean, he had the mid range game going at 15 from Kyle Anderson. I mean, Desmond Bane with 11, 18 off the bench for Conchar, 14 and 9 for BC, 10 points for Tyus Jones. Welcome back Stones, man. He had a pretty good game as well. 2-2 from 3, so it was good to see him back, man. He even got Justice Winslow in there for some burn there at the end. Jontay Porter came in. Hit some shots. Tim Frazier got some minutes. So haven't got to see that a lot lately because these games have been close. So it was good to see a game like that where Taylor could kind of empty the bench. But I think that was a big win. And again, it sets them up. If they can win one of these last two, no matter what Golden State does, they'll be in position to either tie or go one game up, whatever it ends up being. They'll be the 8 seed if they win that game. They just need to win one of these Sacramento games. And I think if they win the first one, I think it gives you a opportunity to rest guys. Now, I don't know if I would. I think this team has shown that they've had problems when guys are out in and out of lineup. They've had a kind of chemistry problems. I think there's a way that you can look at it that you think, well, going into this big game on Sunday, you want that continuity. You don't want to be coming off a game where everybody rests. But I think that's probably the route they go, and I don't necessarily hate that either. It probably wouldn't be what I would do, but I understand it.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it, that second game is going to depend on what Golden State does. If Golden State loses, right, does Golden State play tomorrow night or they play the night after?
They play Friday.
Friday
night.
They
play Friday night against the Pelicans.
So you won't know. You know, they're going to have to more than likely go into that second game with a mindset that they need to win that game. And we're going to have another guest for the Thursday night. We won't do a post game. We're going to cover both of the games on Friday night. And Jill from the Hoopball Kings podcast is going to join us for that post game. So we're going to two-man and a woman that one. I was going to say three-man it, but want to be gender friendly.
Politically correct. Yeah, politically correct. Got to.
So Jill's going to join us. And I just kind of, you know, first started interacting with her when she joined the Hoopball team this year, and she's been fantastic. So she covers the Kings with Damian Barlin for Hoopball. So that's going to be another good guest for us. And I can't wait to do that post game. I hope that the Grizzlies stay locked in. And that is Isaac. He's got a lot going on. He wasn't there for the post game presser last night, but
man,
no, it's that was the things that they kept repeating was remain locked in. Job's not done. Job's not finished. I hope that they maintain that mindset.
Yeah, Dylan has been there.
Dylan has been there, but it sure didn't feel like everybody else was there until that game against the Mavericks. They just kept their foot on the throttle the whole time and put that game away. And there's been plenty of games this season that they could have done that they didn't. And so I hope moving forward, you know, these last three games, that they know they have to do that and we get to see it.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see them just come out and just blast Sacramento tomorrow night. I mean, that's – and I think – and I've been asking for that kind of game for a couple of weeks, and we kind of saw that last night, and I would like to see them kind of continue that momentum going into tomorrow night. And I guess we'll have Jerry back in the lineup, you think, tomorrow night. I don't know if they'll decide to rest him. I mean, they'll play him in this one because this is the one that's important. But when you look at the standings, I mean, even if – no matter what, if the Grizzlies win one of these games – Golden State, the most that they can get before this game is 38 wins. So if the Grizzlies win one of these, they'll have 37. So and that game will be for the tiebreaker. So no matter what happens, Grizzlies only need one win out of these two. So because they'll go in, if they split them, they would be 37 and 33, and Golden State would be 38 and Golden State would be 38 and 33. Grizzlies would be 37 and 34 if they split these two. So they go in. Yeah, so if they win the game, they'd be tied. So. Yeah, they'd be tied, so they'd be the 18 anyway. So they only need to win one. So I think if we win tomorrow night.
I'd like to see them win them both, though, to be honest. Yeah, because I think that, you know, if they win both of them, then the pressure's on Golden State. Golden State has to win that game. And it's going to come down to that. And unless the Grizzlies just fall apart and lose both games against the Kings, and I pray that doesn't happen, but it is a possibility. It is the NBA. They do still have to go out here and play this game. So there is a chance, but I'm hoping the Grizzlies win both of them. They're going to be in a lot better spot, and I don't think there's as much pressure on them. If they go out, they win both of these games against the – you know, they're going to be going into Golden State on a win streak if they win both of these games, feeling pretty good about themselves. I like their odds. But one-game shootout with Golden State, man, you just never know what's going to happen because – Steph Curry could go nuclear at any time and drop 40 points in a quarter on you. And that's just a fear. Maybe I shouldn't have it, but it is, man. He's one of the best to ever play the game, probably like arguably the best shooter. And that he knows how to win. He knows what he has to do to win, and the Grizzlies are still learning. So that is that's a tough matchup just because of the experience on that team. And having one of the, you know, the best shooter living right now.
Yeah, but from what the Grizzlies are saying, and I like the body language last night, I think they understand the magnitude. I think they'll be ready for that game. And it kind of fits into one of my theories that I talked about earlier in the season here. If Golden State beats the Pelicans, this is a 6-game homestand. They'll be 5-0 on this homestand going into that game. And to win 6 straight on a 6-game homestand, that's pretty impressive and tough to do. So, like I said, this season has been kind of wacky, and some of these things haven't worked out as much as they have in the past because of teams playing teams back-to-back in the same sets. It's been some weird stuff, weird trends that you don't usually see this year. But it's kind of something that's in the back of my mind. They'd be 6-0 if they beat the Pelicans and beat the Grizzlies. They finish the season 6-0 at home, which is tough to do. Like I said, for a team that's not saying they're not a good team, but they're not one of the top-tier teams in the league, and that would be – pretty impressive. So that's kind of something to think about. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it's kind of one of those things that I watch. So we'll see what happens. But I think the Grizz come out and take care of business tomorrow night. I think they're going to rest guys on Friday. Get Sacramento. We saw last night, even with some guys resting, I think that's a game that you could still win. Again, it probably wouldn't be the route I would go, but I understand why they would. I mean, you got this huge game on Sunday, and you think the game technically standing-wise isn't important, but mentality-wise, it could be important. But I think they're, from what we've seen from this team this year, they're going to sit some guys. I mean, Ja hasn't had a game off, and I guess they think that he won't accept that because he's kind of the only guy they've kind of treated differently when it comes to resting guys and bringing guys back quickly from injury. He's been a little bit different.
Man. I don't think that – maybe later in his career he gets to that point, but it feels to me – like he has that, I'm not resting. You know, I get my rest in the off season. When it's time to play basketball, I'm playing basketball. And that's good to have. You want your star player to have that. So, man, I don't have much of anything else for today. Do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get out of here, man?
No, last thing, I'm checking the injury report. I know De'Aaron Fox has been out recently. He's listed as out right now for tomorrow night's game. They also have Harrison Barnes out. Robert Woodard III, Buddy Hield's day-to-day, and Marvin Bagley's day-to-day. So, I mean, this could be another one of those games, man, where Sacramento's without their top guys. We've seen what the team can do in those type of games, but hopefully they're locked in now, and this is different.
And they're without Halliburton. Halliburton shut down for the season.
Yeah, Halliburton's definitely out. Yeah,
I didn't. If you said him, I missed it. But you know, that's enough. He's been huge for them this year. So, but you can't. We have learned this season, even though you're supposed to be the team, and you cannot go in there with that mindset because it can come back and bite you with quickness. We'll get out of here. You guys can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Hope you all enjoyed the show. I know that I did. Having Brevin on was fantastic. I hope we can get him back on again, maybe in the off season when he's not working every other day for 4 months, we can get him back on here. But it was great. Isaac, I appreciate you. Man, we have been grinding with the podcast here in the second half of this season. We'll get a little bit of break once we get through these playoffs, and then we'll dive into the draft
Man, I can't wait. Now, not that I'm rushing the season to be over, but I hope the Grizzlies make it all the way to the NBA Finals. But again, man, I can't wait to talk some draft, man. I'm a big, big draft guy. I've already delved into some stuff and looking at some stuff. So I'm excited about that. But again, man, big, big opportunity here for the Grizzlies. Hopefully they can win these last three games and end up in an eighth spot. Because again, we've talked about it here. Eighth spot's a lot better situation than that ninth spot. Eight is where you want to be because it gives you two bullets. I mean, you have an opportunity to go to a game where you'll probably be an underdog in, but if you win that game, cool, you're in an eighth spot. But if you don't, you come back home and get to host a game for a chance to put yourself in the playoffs. So eight is where you want to be. Nine makes it a little bit tougher.
Yeah. Yep. That's I mentioned last night that, you know, not that you want to go into one of these games and have an off night, but they do happen. And if you're in that 9-10 game and you have an off night,
that's it.
That's it. Ball game. Season's over. Enjoy the off season. So, you know, that's 7-8 is where they want to be, hoping that they're going to make it. It's going to be a tough matchup either way, whoever it is, whether it's the Lakers or the Blazers. And I didn't even look at the standings there to pay attention to that.
I think it's going to be the Blazers. They can, but I just think
Portland and Dallas are tied right now at 40 and 29, and LA's 39 and 30, and LA's resting LeBron and AD tonight. I don't know how that's going to go. They are playing the Rockets. They can definitely still win that game without
those
guys.
Saying. Their schedule's easy.
Yeah.
Their schedule's easy. Portland has tough games. They got Dallas. Is it Dallas they're playing tonight?
No, Dallas is playing New Orleans.
New Orleans. Who is Portland playing?
Yeah, they're playing the Jazz. They got the Jazz.
And they finish off with the Nuggets. But so man,
the Jazz ain't helping us. The Jazz could have.
No, they. Man. I couldn't believe I turned the game off. Like, Golden State went up by, like, 16 in the fourth quarter. I'm like, this one's over. I can't watch this anymore. Now, check the ESPN app, and Utah was up by two. One, I think it was 116, 114. To flip back on the TV, the first thing I see is Steph Curry knocking down the three, bending down with that little wry smile that he has. I was like, my God, man. He just makes plays, man. He's an assassin, and that's the thing. He's looming, man. DB is going to have his work cut out for him, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think that's one of those situations where you kind of have to allow Steph to do what he's going to do, but try to stop everyone else because you're not gonna shut down Steph. I mean, he's going to get numbers. I mean, it's just
limit him as much as you can to stop everybody 50. Else. Let him get 50. That's fine. We don't even put DB on him. Put DB on somebody else. Let him get 50. Shut down everybody else. I think that's going to be the key.
That's
to
the
victory.
Plan. It's the plan, man.
All right, so wrap us up and get us out of here, man. And then we will be back Friday night with the post game.
Yeah, man. You can make sure you go over to @HoopBallGrizz on Twitter. Follow us, man. Help this thing grow, man. We're pushing it. We got some exciting stuff coming up, man. So make sure you stay locked in there. You can find me on Twitter @Isaac_Rivals, ISAAC_Rivals, man. Special thanks to Brevin Knight again, man. A tough week for him. I mean, you got two on Monday. This was his middle off day. You got Thursday, Friday, and back on Sunday, man. So just thank you for taking a little time, man, to jump on here with us, man. I know you're a busy man. And again, man, for David Williams, I've been Isaac Simpson, and we'll talk to you on Friday night, man. Hopefully we'll be discussing two big victories for the Grizzlies over the Kings going into that Golden State game. Until Friday night, we'll talk to you then. Go Grizzlies.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.